Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all. This one is explicit.
Jessica!
Elsie!
Oh my, hello! How are you feeling? Because we're going to have to tell the people, just in case.
I feel like balls.
You're feeling like balls.
I feel like balls, but it's okay.
But we don't really actually know what balls feel like.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and guess warm and sweaty and kind of like shoved into a corner and sat on.
We have just started this.
We're already off to a bad start.
We're already in the explicit area of things.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Listen, you challenged me to explain what balls feel like.
I know. I should not have said that.
Any sane and rational person knows it's sat on and sweaty and shoved into a dark place.
Okay, so that is what you're feeling like, it seems.
That's kind of how I feel. My whole house has had a virus, and then it went away, and then it came back, but in a different form and manner.
Uh-huh.
So, like, first it was, like, vomiting, and then that went away, and then came fever. And then I went to the—oh, my God, I hope you didn't hear that. And then I went to the doctor. Did you?
No.
Okay, I burped kind of under my breath.
Well,
but I was afraid that you heard it. I'm glad you didn't, because it just sort of it snuck out without my permission. So this is what happens when you're sick, though. Like, I have, like, you can hear my glands are swollen.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to stay hydrated, but as a result, I'm burpy. You know how burpy can be.
Right.
So this time I came back with like a sore throat and fevers. My son's had a fever for like days and days. It's not going away. And thank God he stopped throwing up. But we just feel like balls, kind of. Just feel terrible. I feel, you know, headache and just kind of like a truck hit me.
Oh, yeah. No good. No good. And I'm
sucks.
Sorry. And so I'm just glad you were able to make it here, because this is like our last like proper She podcast for 2015, and I was like, when are we gonna get it done? I'm so sad.
It's the kind of thing that, you know, you can't miss a good party no matter what. The show must go on, Elsie.
And the show must go on.
If you're a professional.
But aren't you so glad you didn't have to go into work?
Yeah, because I'm sitting in bed in my actually in the clothes I was wearing yesterday.
Yeah, that's always
I hate to admit.
Yes.
I meant to shower, but I just haven't had the energy yet, and maybe I'll sleep first. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So, yes, I'm very glad I didn't have to go into work. I'm glad I don't have to go into a recording studio, because that would have made this show not possible.
Yeah, that would have sucked, because then it would have involved so much more. But so I'm glad you're here. And
I'm glad you're here.
Before we get started, though, I really want to thank our sponsors just from the get-go, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure, because you know what? I don't even know. Does Boss Jock have an email list? Do you know? I guess you could find out right while I'm talking, because I'm actually not sure. And I should have asked that, because usually around the holidays, around the end of the year or the beginning of the year, a lot of apps go on sale. So I would keep an eye out on Boss Jock. I'm not sure what their, you know, what their things are. No.
They just have like a contact email. Follow them on Twitter and Facebook. They don't collect email addresses.
Okay.
That I can see. But I mean, it would be nice if you followed them on their Twitter at Boss Jock app, and their facebook.com/BossJock app.
Yeah, so they do have a little bit of a YouTube channel as well. So
yes,
check it out, because there might be a sale on Boss Jock, and it's always good to just have it in your tooltip. And plus, you guys get, like, I'm sure somebody's going to give you an iTunes gift card. And if you do, this is a really great app to get, Boss Jock, because it'll
help
you.
Wait, how are you sure? Is that my gift?
No, that's not.
Are you sending one to all the listeners?
No, that is not your gift. I'm not going to give you an iTunes gift card. If I were to give you a gift card, I'll give you one to Sephora. If I was going to do that, I'd give you a Sephora card. I would not give you an iTunes gift card.
And I appreciate that.
Okay. So, but here's the really cool thing about it, because it would be really great to have that in your toolbox if you don't have it already to be able to use it. Now, I was just kind of looking around trying to find some solutions for one of my clients that I was working with. And, you know, her podcasting equipment as she was using it stopped working because of lots of different things. I'm not even going to get into it. It was just like Boss Jock ATR and the camera connection kit, and something went kind of wacky with it. And then I remembered the Boss Jock guys did a wonderful little video that involved not using any kind of external connections. But what they did is they just got their iPhone and they put the foam ball on the bottom of the iPhone and they used it like a microphone. So that's cool. So that's like a real, so that's the solution that I gave her, to just put like a foam ball at the bottom of your iPhone and make it a mic. So we'll see how that works out. But I'm going to put a link in the show notes to that, because it was their 30-second video when Boss Jock Jr. came out. And Dave, who is one of the developers of Boss Jock, was in the, like, by the beach recording this. And you'll see it. And it looks like it's going to work. So it's like 22 seconds in. You guys can check it out. So there's that. Yes. And then... what did you guys think of the little music, the little sitar music that came on my crazy, you know, Elsie was like having a moment when she was recording herself. She was like, loo, loo, loo. She went into the zone. That was like an idea that John, our producer from Audio Editing Solutions, came up with. And I just thought, like, why not, dude? Just go for it. Because he's so involved with our show. He's just so good at what he does, you know? And I'm just so happy to have somebody have our back.
It's really nice. And also, I have to say, every week, it's also nice to be, like, he sends us little messages while he's editing to tell us how funny we are, which I also enjoy.
That's always
nice. I mean, but it's nice to have, because, you know, because Elsie never did that.
While I'm editing the show to tell, well, because I was in it. My gift to you is me laughing at you.
I mean, that's true.
Or not at you.
It would be a double gift. You're right.
You know.
Because, anyway, so it's kind of nice to have someone who enjoys the show editing it, because it's nice to have him talk about which parts he liked the best before anyone else can hear it. So that's kind of good. It's like driving a race car and having a teammate change your wheels who really likes driving and car racing.
Absolutely. Right? Yes.
It's cool.
It is totally good. Cool. So
you can tell I'm not as sharp as normal. So just cut me a little slack. My analogies may not be on point, but I think the message is clear.
The message.
Anyway,
is clear.
John Bucanus is his name. I believe that's how you say it. Oh my God, what if it's not? I've known him for years.
I know. Well, he can, you know what? Maybe I'm sure he'll let us know. But anyway, he's fantastic. So go to audioeditingsolutions.com and check him out if you guys want somebody, you know, a little support. It's been a pleasure. It really has been an absolute pleasure. And then Team Podcast, who is our favorite transcripter as of now. Not that that's the only thing that
they do so many things.
There's so many things that Team Podcast does that it's kind of a little mind-blowing. Like, it's mind-blowing. So if you have decided to, in some way, up-level your workflow next year, Team Podcast is the first stop. So why don't you just go over there right now, teampodcast.com, check out what they offer, start a conversation, and then see what works for you the best.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, the last little thing that I want to have you guys, we've been getting all kinds of fantastic audio feedback for our collaboration, the end of the year collab, which is next Monday. So a week from today, when you guys are getting this, I hope to get this episode done by that time so that Jess and I can have a little bit of a break so that we don't have to record. And then we won't be back until the second week of January with a new episode. So you guys are going to have to deal with us being gone for a week there. We're giving ourselves a break. What will you do? We're giving ourselves a little bit of a break. So don't expect any episodes on the first week of January. But we will be back, I believe, with a first episode on January 11th. So if you want to be part of the show and have your podcast promoted through the first weeks of the new year, it's going to be awesome, because it's going to be the last show that's going to be on the feed, which means it's the first show that people are going to download if they find it. And also, this is when iTunes start to promote a lot of different podcasts. Maybe We will be somebody that will get a little push at the beginning of the year. You never know what they're going to be pushing. So just to let you guys know that that's a possibility as well. So if you want to be participating, please send your audio feedback. And I talked about this in the last episode. Here's what you need to do. You need to create a piece of audio feedback no longer than 7 minutes. The average time for everybody that's been submitting has been 4. It's kind of crazy. It's almost like 4 on the dot for everybody. They've been awesome. Yeah. Begin your recording with, "Greeting. This is my name from this podcast, which you can find at this website." Just because it's like, it's just, instead of you, you know.
Is this really not self-explanatory?
No, it's not. Believe me. And then you answer questions in the recording. What microphone do you use? What's the biggest podcasting production tip that you adore? And that could be like, you know, a hardware thing, a software, some workflow, a service or resource, anything that's really helped you. What was your greatest podcasting challenge this year? And did you overcome it, just for funsies? And what do you wish someone would have told you about podcasting before you hit go? So you send that audio feedback to feedback@shepodcast.com by December 23rd, 2015, anytime during the day of December 23rd. So that means you have 2 more days to go. Today is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Oh my gosh, why am I losing my voice again?
Get her done!
Yes. So Jessica and I would love to feature you on She Podcast. And last bit of information, please make sure, or business actually, please make sure you're on our list. You can go to shepodcast.com to sign up for the list, because we're going to be having some promotions happening at the end of the year here. And if you kind of want in on that, then you need to get on the list so that you get dibs and you don't be sad because you missed it. Okay? That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
What she said.
What she said. All right, so do you want to talk about the dude that's charging $57 to be on a show?
Ugh, yes.
Okay.
Because shame on him, though, seriously.
Okay.
So,
give us the story.
Okay.
The story of the dude.
So, currently, socialspurs.com, if you go to that website, this dude's name is Aaron Jenks. And Aaron Jenks contacted me back in August and wanted me to be on the show. And it was so similar to the, not pitch from John Lee Dumas, but like, because he doesn't really pitch, but I'm just pulling up the email that I got so that I can help you guys understand why it's so terrible. At the time, he was not using this model, but okay, so the it says email interview you, and it's from the name podcast, which is terrible. And it's basically, he sent it to info@ladybusiness.biz. "I would like to invite you to join me as our guest to be interviewed on the socialspurs.com podcast, an unscripted, fun, and flat out cool business podcast for entrepreneurs. I know you're busy. That's why it's an easy 30-minute audio only. I would be honored if you would be willing to share your success journey. As an entrepreneur of 10 years, I know just how valuable motivation, success principles, and focus can be, particularly during those down times. Knowing other people have walked through the same path can mean all the difference. I'm sure your story will inspire everyone that hears it. Below is a link where you can book. You can click the link to get a gist of how our interviews flow." And this is the part that turned me off. It was when I saw the flow. "While we have a general blueprint, I'm not like a robot asking the same questions." And then it says his name, and then it says socialspurs.com, the Mac of business podcasts. And that kind of turned me off right there, because I was like, who the hell do you think you are calling yourself the Mac? And then I go to the flow page, which is still the same, socialspurs.com/flow. But now it's called War Ready, the War Ready podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then it says, "To listen to past shows, click here. Please leave a review in iTunes to show your..." So first he's asking. "You're going to have a great time. Listen to a previous episode. Leave a review. Here's our flow. We shoot for no more than 15, 20 minutes for the entire length of our interview. But there's 8 questions and intro and then elevator pitch. You're in an elevator. Someone asks you what you personally do."
Wait, this is all on his website or all on the email? Oh, on the okay.
This part's the flow of the interview on the website. "You're in an elevator. Someone asks you what you personally do in 10 seconds. What do you say? In 10 seconds, what do you say about what your business does? What's the main thing you're generating revenue from right now? And your
it's not punctuated properly. It's your as in like your business, not your as in you are generating. Yeah.
Okay. Oops.
So it's not even grammatically. Walk us through how you're generating, your sales funnel. Now it's twice now. How many people on your team? What systems do you use in your business? Not question mark. No punctuation whatsoever. What's the it's terribly done. It's so terribly done. How do you stay connected to your tribe? And then for 12 minutes, he has chronologically tell us your background. Where did you grow up? What did you want to be when you were a kid? What dreams did you have? What significant moment when you knew you had a dream? Chronologically take us through your life journey. And then how can people contact you? But shove it into 12 minutes. And then here's 3 minutes for you to answer 12 questions. Favorite word, least favorite word. What turns you on creatively? What turns you off? What's your favorite curse word? What's the best advice you've ever... It's exhausting just reading it.
Right.
I'm exhausted just reading it. But that's not even the point. Right now, the War Ready podcast has reached out to pretty much every well-known entrepreneur on the planet. And he's done this like actually recently. So like the pitch that I got was months and months and months ago, almost 6 months ago. This is totally separate. He's telling people that he wants to have you on the show. However, the deal is you either pay $57. Wait, I think this is right. You either pay $57 to be on the show or you have to have him on your podcast or both. I better look.
I think it's a quid pro quo kind of thing where it's like it's an equal exchange for it's either.
I want to make sure I get it right, though.
Okay.
But yeah. It's quick pro quo. And then when I did it, I did just a plain Google search for it. He has a post on radioguestlist.com telling people that, you know, you must have, it's like a must situation. You must have Aaron on your show.
Hmm.
Anyway, but he's asking people like, okay, so the first time I saw it posted was Liz D'Alto, who in no way.
Elizabeth D'Alto, by the way.
Oh, she doesn't like Liz now?
Dude, where have you been?
Since when?
Since for,
I'm not going to not call her Liz. That's
we're
going to
call her Elizabeth.
We are?
Yes, we are.
How long has this been going on?
It's been going on for a while, dude.
Really?
Yes. I'm not joking. Dude, I love Elizabeth. It's like my name, Elsie. Elsie comes from Elizabeth. And I usually call, it doesn't matter. She's claiming her entire name, but that doesn't have to do with the subject here. But it's Elizabeth D'Alto.
Okay,
yes.
So Elizabeth, so let's just call her D'Alto. Okay. So D'Alto, I can't call her Elizabeth. She was interviewed, she's got an invite to apply to be interviewed on the War Ready podcast and pay $57 to be on the show or interview the host on mine. Can't say it feels like a compelling offer. No, it's not. So you either pay him $57 or you have him on your show, which I think takes balls, giant, giant balls, because even though Aaron Jenks said he was an entrepreneur for 10 years, if you Google search Aaron Jenks and all of his entrepreneurial success, you'll see that he's like a musician, not a very good one. He has a lot of Vines and some YouTubes, but you know, I mean, kind of looks like, oh my God, I hate to say this. There's a, you know, Jersey Shore, right?
I kind of heard of, yes, I have.
So he doesn't even look like the guys from Jersey Shore, although that's possible. He could be on the show. He looks like Nick Kroll's, like, parody version, Bobby Bottle Service. That's what he looks like to me.
Oh my goodness. Yo. Well, see, somebody's going to get that. I'm not, because I don't know enough about Jersey Shore other than like Snooki. That's not where she was from.
Snooki. Snooki. But yes.
Yes.
Snooki.
Yeah.
That
so
was
anyway.
Very cute. Snooki, she says. Snooki. Like cookie.
Okay. Like cookie. Snooki. Snooki. I would suck at doing any kind of Jersey accident. I would be a Jersey accident.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. So
he does not have, if he has 10 years of being an entrepreneur, that would shock me because he looks about 30, but also he has all this weird art with his face in it. And like when he does video of himself playing the guitar, it's in that cartoon video type thing.
Oh.
You know how you can put like a cartoon filter over the camera if you're using your iPhone?
Yeah, it's like a paint. Is it a cartoon thing or like painted? Like illustration?
It looks like, yeah, it just, I mean, he's actually white, but in none of the art, he is, looks white.
Okay.
So he's like, I almost want to say, doesn't want to be. That doesn't matter. This part does not matter. I shouldn't even mention it. It doesn't matter. The point is, I mean, it's not even irksome. It's just ridiculous.
Right.
Because if you are an up and comer, I don't think you have the right to. Well, I mean, who am I to say what other people have the right to do? And actually, now that I think about it. But I think if you're an up-and-comer, you don't ask Derek Halpern for $57 to interview him. Like, you kiss the floor and you be grateful.
Oh, my God.
And same with Andrea Vaughn, and same with Elizabeth D'Alto, and same with half the other people that I've seen post about this that are irritated that they're being asked for money to be on his show, which God knows how many views it has. I can tell you that his website on Alexa, the Alexa rank is sad and terrible. But I mean, because you can always check someone's traffic. I don't know why people don't realize that. But guess what? If you're acting like you have a lot of traffic and you don't, people know. You can tell.
You can tell because you can do a Google search. Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, my question around this, well, you know, that there's been some people who have been, yeah, kind of irked. There's a lot of people who are posting, not necessarily even irked, that I've gotten the email, but going like, is this really a thing? Like, they're totally surprised.
So where else have people posted about it? Because I haven't seen any of the discussion, only the... Oh, are you still talking about Elizabeth's post?
No. I'm actually talking about... This was something I just saw yesterday. Jason Van Orden posted on, I think, the podcaster's Hangout. He also asked... like as an inquiry, and I did see it again somewhere else. So there was somebody else as well. I'm not sure where they posted though. I'm not sure if it was, I think it was in the podcast movement group as well, that somebody basically just wondered.
But here's the thing. It says his pitch. Oh, here it is. The Jason Van Orden. It says, due to the tremendous and growing global, the popularity of the War Ready podcast, we now have a $57 requires appearance prerequisite before we take a booking.
Oh.
Through invites and inbound requests, have literally hundreds of responses, and to weed through them and ensure it's not, again, not even grammatically correct.
Right. It's kind of confusing, and maybe it's because people are flakes and he's just trying to weed out people. I mean, I
think he is so full of shit.
Okay. There's that too.
He's so full of shit. Weed out people my ass. He's trying to look like a baller, and he's not. And it irks me. It irks me. It irks me.
Well.
Okay, so wait. Esther says she knows of two other shows that charge the guests who want to be interviewed. They're established shows. People are clamoring to get on them. Exactly. That's my point. Nobody's clamoring to get on his show. He's just trying to pretend like they are so that he can make money. And that's yucky, I think.
Yeah, well, then there's my other. So, okay, I'm not sure about his podcast at all, and I'm trying to stay neutral because I have a personal opinion about this type of model. I'm just trying to kind of step back and see what's up, you know, just to see what's going on with this whole business. So $57, right?
Did you see Kimra? Kimra said, I would say I charge $5,000 for an hour long talk.
Right.
Will you pay me your 50% upfront deposit and then the other 50% the day we record?
Right. That's no, funny. That's it. Actually, that's what the advice that I gave over to, you know, when D'Alto posted on our show.
Wait, then what, this what? Guy says the reason you're offended is because you're white. Rap and hip hop shows have been doing this for years.
I know. I saw that post, but I think he's a little
confused.
This
guy is white. Is that true, though? Rap and hip hop shows do that for podcasts?
I don't know. But
you're
I think
not white. You're supposed to know.
No, but
you're the non-white representation.
Hey, no, listen. LC I'm not even Escobar. Sure. Like, I wanted to understand the conversation he was having, too. But then I got confused because I'm not sure. Because then he started talking about he's an I think he has something to do with the editing side of things. And that's when it lost me because I read that entire thread. And then at first I thought he was talking about it from firsthand experience, as in I have been a part of running something like this. And then as I started to read a lot of the responses that he brought up, he was talking about it from the perspective of paying for people to edit their shows. And so then I got confused because then are you requesting your guests to pay for your editing? Is that what you're like? What's the question?
No matter how you slice it, it's bullshit. You don't ask a guest See, now I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because I still want to talk about my other idea that's similar to this but different, I think. But, I mean, so I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth. But I don't think if you're going to pitch someone, you have any right to ask of them money to pay for the cost of being on the show. You don't.
No, I agree. I completely agree with that.
And I always compare the concept to Oprah or Ellen. They don't just bring people on the show. They give them gifts. They don't ask for help with the editing. You know, I mean, they do ask you to wear stupid costumes sometimes,
right?
Or play stupid games sometimes, but they don't ask you for money, and they don't ask you for, you know, and they'll pay for your travel. I mean, which is essentially paying for your time.
Right.
And if podcasts want to be taken seriously, they can't ask for money to interview someone. They just can't.
True.
That's what I think.
I agree. I completely agree. Now, my
in his case.
My question around that is, I guess I'm kind of lost in the $57 charging.
Oh, well, let's
of it.
Talk about that.
So okay. Then, okay, because if he has, so I could this possibly be a daily show? Because I could see that making him some money, right?
Yes.
$57 for a daily show.
I think it is supposed to be
I
daily.
Could see that. But if it's like a weekly show, it's like $57. That's like, what? Just a little bit over $200. Which
yeah.
is kind of like, what? And then why 50? Like, I'm just kind of like, why $57? Is that covering? What are you covering?
Yes, everyday show.
I'm confused. I'm not being a devil's advocate here. It's just really about the observation. Because what we're going to be talking about here is the future of podcasting and what it's going to be looking like or what has happened actually in this past year and what maybe some, I don't know, guesses, guesstimations of what might happen this year could be. But, you know, it is podcasting itself is getting a lot of press time. It's getting a lot of people looking into it. And primarily from the internet marketing people, business people, those are the ones that are putting podcasting out really a lot more. They are the ones that are kind of investing time to do this, right? So these type of people, for the most part, a lot of them are entrepreneurs of sorts. So mm-hmm. I'm sure that they're putting their entrepreneurial caps on, seeing now the potential of what podcasting can be for either an existing business or to create businesses around podcasting. And so we are going to start to see more people creating businesses around podcasting in some way or another.
Yeah.
And so my reaction,
I get that.
You know, my reaction to this was like, that's not how you do it. I've been in the business for 10 years and I've never had that. You know, I'm like the old cratchety person in the back trying to keep things the way they are. But
no,
really,
no.
No, but I'm just saying that was my initial thought about it. And unfortunately, there, I feel, especially it started this year and I feel it's going to continue. That's not going to be the case anymore. There's not going to be any more time where you're going to say like, well, this is the way you do podcasting, because that's not going to be the thing anymore. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be breaking existing models to create something more with the medium. And I don't know. So, yes, go for it.
I mean, okay, two things. First, you're going to – I just want to mention this because you're going to hate him more, but the description says by Aaron Jenks, bring you the life story of Entrepreneurs Daily inspired by – Tim Ferriss, Pat Flynn, Michael Hyatt, John Lee Dumas, Entrepreneur on Fire, Shailene
God.
Johnson, The Art of Charm, NPR, HBR, and the Startup Podcast.
God.
Now you want to kill him.
I do.
So now you're feeling me. Okay. That said, 2 years or so ago, I heard a rumor that John Lee Dumas was making people pay $900 to interview them on Entrepreneur on Fire. And then when I interviewed him, I asked him about it. And he said that was his way of weeding people out because he never actually made someone pay $900 to be on the show. But if someone was pitching him, rather than say no, you're not down with being on the show, he was trying to create a barrier to entry so that everyone and their mother would stop pitching him. I have no idea if it worked.
Right.
But I since know the feeling.
I understand. I get that. I get that from that perspective. And
I don't think that's what this dude is doing. But I mean, you're right. And I like what you're saying about how, yeah, I mean, there doesn't have to be a rule about how it's being done. And that's why I was talking out the other side of my mouth, because I have some other ideas as to how to make it a little more profitable or productive, because there is a problem with constant interview takers. There's a huge problem with it. And this guy is skirting. I mean, and look, he does a show every day. And he's had, I don't know when he started the show, but he has one. What's today, actually? He hasn't had one in 2 days.
Is this our, an ongoing show already? Is that what
the scoop? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, in iTunes, I can see at least back to October, and it's like almost every day. So somebody's paying him, and probably it's because he's pushing the, you know, with his whatever it's called in the description, you know.
Oh, because he's spamming. Well, we're going to be talking about some of that stuff too, because that's not going to work very much at all. In fact,
it's
going to
probably screw him.
It's going to screw everybody. If it's not already, exactly. You don't put all of those people's names on your title or your description, or it's not even that. It's like the author tag.
So, but just so you know, people who have actual credentials, who have gotten a certain amount of downloads or been highlighted in New and Noteworthy, like, they'll show you that. They don't have to tell you, I've had so much demand that I now have to charge X, Y, and Z. They'll show you their popularity. Like, if you look on any of those podcasts I mentioned, Tim Ferriss, Pat Flynn, like, they'll show you their ranking. Like, they'll show you their income. They'll show you, like, you shouldn't have to sell it that hard, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. I guess, and absolutely. It's just that he's also, again, highlighting, like, he and what was Nathan Latka should get together. Don't you think?
Latka actually has some notoriety. That's also
yes,
the difference, though.
That's right. And he Latka, does have.
He's a relatively. That's why he annoyed me, because he was giving advice for people to podcast, and he's already friggin' famous. Like, you can't.
Right. You can't
be famous
that.
And tell people how to make a famous podcast. Like, that's just bullshit.
Right. And
there's a new podcast called The Kibitz Podcast. That's kind of fun. Your guide to everything Jewish-ish.
Oh, you're going to have fun. To listen. How fun.
I don't have to listen. I probably know all the things that are Jewish-ish.
Yeah, but it'll be kind of fun
but
to
I hear
listen
what you're
to
saying,
talk
yeah.
about.
No, yeah.
So, okay.
Wait. So I was actually trying to look in the business section to see if this guy has any kind of clout whatsoever. Like, does he even in no, if he's even in the top for what's hot or anything?
I'm interested to see. Now I'm kind of interested to talk to him about about the reason, you know, like, what was going on in his head around that, and what is the end goal of his podcast, and is there anything different that he's showing other than the same cut and dry, interviewing another entrepreneur, and it's like really short, and it's every day, because then everybody should be sharing it, and I'm getting, you know, like, I don't understand what the end goal is. It is from that. And my only real comment, again, I'm coming back to it, is yes, there are some. So maybe this can lead to the conversation that you want to have as well. So yes, this is a little douchey. I think it's more on the douchey side than anything else. And there's a lot of like business clarity that he needs to kind of make sure his grammar is okay, that he doesn't have typos, that his branding looks nice.
A professional person doesn't do that, period.
You know, so,
never, ever.
Right. So then that can be fixed and whatnot. But
a successful entrepreneur, by the way, can edit their own stuff.
Right.
And would.
And yes.
Because most professional entrepreneurs are so perfectionistic that there's no way that would go out, unless they have ADHD like me, and in which case they fix it immediately or they can't sleep at night.
Right. And I think
that's
that
my case, is that stuff slips by me and then I find out later and then I want to kill myself.
but
anyway, I can't find him anywhere on the What's Hot, which means his show isn't even popular.
Well,
so he's
what's
lying.
Hot? Well,
so it's all lies. It's lies, people. How do you feel about being lied to?
Well,
and then sugared out of $57. I don't like it.
Well, no, it doesn't. But okay, so there's that. I already said that he's probably not the best at the representation of this model. But does this model hold ground for somebody who is, let's say we made it as optimal as possible. He was, you know, his podcast was completely innovative. He, you know, everybody was kind of clamoring around this new podcast has been out there. He's doing something different, and you know, interviewing entrepreneurs. He is in the What's Hot section. He is being featured on the front page of iTunes. iTunes really is behind him. You know, all those kinds of things. So,
well, let's talk about it.
Okay, so then what?
I fall into that category, do I not?
Yeah.
So Lady Business Radio is something I've been thinking about. Well, I'm not thinking about it. I'm going to relaunch it again in 2016. I have been featured on the homepage of iTunes. In fact, I believe it's still there under Inspiring Women's Stories somewhere. Some days I can find it and some days I can't. And also we're in the new to podcast section. So I'm featured twice. Or how to podcast, right?
Right, right. Totally. Mm-hmm.
So I'm featured twice. I have not done a Lady Business Radio episode in a year. A whole year. A full year. I just want to say it three times. And it still gets 1,000 downloads a month. Whereas, you know, when I was doing shows, it was getting that and more per week.
Right.
But so here's my idea. So I get pitched almost every day. Almost every day someone pitches me to be on a show that hasn't had a new episode in a year. Which, first of all, means to me, people, I mean, look and see if somebody's doing episodes. I mean, before you pitch them, come on.
Totally. No, I hear you.
Come on. I mean, it's October of last year, not this year. Yep. Jeez. Yep. Okay. Yep. Anyway, so to make a long story short, I was kind of thinking, okay, well, if I'm going to do my show again, because there were some things I didn't like about doing it, and certainly one of them was the people that were pitching me. It was driving me crazy. But then I thought, I mean, but if I am going to do it again, and I'm only going to talk to like people like Elsie or my friends or whatever, I do kind of want them to at least agree. Like, it'll be a quick pro quo, okay, because it is a business and entrepreneurial show. So let's say Elsie wants to, you know, and I kind of want to talk to you. Okay, you're a perfect example. You did this Skype interview product. And, you know, just like on the Tonight Show, you want to do the circuit and tell people about your product, which is fine. I'm going to allow people to talk, you know, about your product and link to it. And I'm even going to, like, if you wanted to give me HTML, I can make a lead box where people click on it from my website. They can get on your email list.
What's a shamel?
What?
Didn't you say give me a shamel?
No.
What is
HTML?
Oh, HTML. Okay.
You know, Scott's been saying lately that I speak too fast, and that's probably evidence that he's right. HTML.
I thought snoring. It was like some kind of Jewish term.
Give me your shtemel.
I thought it was a Jewish term.
No, but it should be. Shtemel. It's like spiel.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
Spiel is a Jewish term. A spiel is like your shtick. Your
I know. Well, one. I've heard that, but I never heard a shtemel. So I was like, well, maybe that's something else I need to learn.
Okay, yeah, that's a new one. I just
okay,
spilled all over my.
Sorry. Oh, keep okay. going.
Okay, so yeah, you give me your HTML for your for your opt-in, and I can make it so that people can opt in right from the show notes. However, okay. That said, if I'm going to do that, you have to send an email about the episode to your list.
Okay.
People hate being told to share or email their list on your behalf. They hate it.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone hates it.
Totally.
And I get that. However, I would say that if I was like, and I don't want to compare myself to JLD, but okay, let's just say, like, okay, what show is equally as popular? Like Natalie Lucy. I don't even know what show is equally as popular as mine because I don't know the numbers.
Right.
But I would say that if I felt like it was a popular show, like, okay, like Natalie Lucier's show off the charts, and she was letting people opt in from her website, yeah, hell yeah, I would send an email out.
Right.
It would not even be like a maybe. It would be a hell yeah. And I'm not talking about interviewing. And that's the thing. I don't want to interview Marie Forleo and, you know, I just want to talk to people like me and you. I want to talk to my own friends. So I don't see why it would be that big of an issue. However, what if I do take people who are pitching me? I kind of have thought about charging them. Because there's a couple people who represent others that chart that pitch me all the time, like, my client would be great for you, my client.
Right.
It's like, well, if your client has $100, fine. Otherwise, I'm going to talk to who I want to talk to, because I already know that they have experience. I already know what's going on in their lives. I already know what they're up to. Like Elizabeth is a perfect example. D'Alto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would send an email saying I was on Elizabeth D'Alto's podcast.
Me too. We'll see.
And hopefully she would say yes to that on being a lady business, because, but I mean, also, like, I wouldn't ask her for $100 because I want it, because she, I know she's changed things. I know she's always, you know what I mean? Like, I already know what's up with her.
Right.
I'm in her circle, so I already know what's up with her. Like, if you're going to send me a stranger that I have to get to know and research, yeah, I kind of want $100 for it. Otherwise, I'll keep interviewing you and Elizabeth and Amber McHugh and Natalie Lussier and Denise Duff, you know, people that I already have interviewed that don't need to charge me $100 if they're willing to maybe, God, even just, you know, say, hey, I was on Lady Business. I'll even give them the
Yeah, you'll give them the stuff. Well, see, because this, and I completely agree. I mean, then there's been times when I would say 99.9% of podcasts that I've been on, I would have 100%, you know, shared that I was on it.
Solo email it though? That's a big,
well,
that's a solo, big ask.
Well, see, here's where the caveat comes from me personally. I mean,
you don't have an email
I don't
list.
Have an email list.
That's you.
But
okay, but what if, okay, but would you agree to have it? Okay, but you do have an email list because we share it.
Well, we share the email list.
Let's
Absolutely.
Say you were on Elizabeth's. Would you send it to the She Podcast list?
I think that, you know what I would
it's
do.
Not relevant.
Well, that's. I think that's where the challenge is. If the conversation revolved around something that had to do with either podcasting, with podcasting-related stuff, digital media-related stuff, like something like that, I would totally do it. Now, this is the way that Rob and I deal with it for the feed, with that kind of stuff. We usually have a segment at the end of the feed episode, and we have links to every single interview that we do in other podcasts. Mm-hmm. And we feature it on social media for Libsyn as well, because that's another way that we get to promote the podcast that we're on. But we're usually talking about podcasting related things. That said, though, people that listen to the feed that only know me through the feed are in times interested in me going on a podcast talking about my birth experiences. You know, there are some people who, and so I just put it in there anyway. If you want to listen to me talk about birth, here's this.
Yeah.
You know, so
that made my crotch hurt when you said birth experiences.
So then, you know, there's been podcasts about that. So maybe there'll be some people that can rediscover that kind of a podcast and get to know me in a different way. You know, there's been podcasts that I've done in Spanish. Two podcasts that I've done 100% in Spanish. Not everybody's going to listen, but I would really like to promote these podcasts because they deserve to be heard. And I'm proud of what I did inside them. So yes, if somebody has, I would say, but you're dealing with Lady Business Radio. So of course, Lady Business, like business. So people should have a list. And if they don't feel comfortable enough sharing
it, they're probably not going to be on my show.
Right.
Anyway.
And see, here's the other thing too. If the conversation, and that's when it falls, I feel, and this is what I feel, falls on the host. You as a host need to have a type of interview that they've never had before where they're like, oh my God, that was like the best. I totally need to share it. Then it'll be like a no-brainer.
Yeah. So then I need to hatch a pitch letter that's like, okay, ladies, let's make a deal.
Yeah.
My part. I'm going to give you a piece of audio that that will let your audience get to know you in a way that no one ever has before. And I was thinking, you know, I was even thinking doing video, but unfiltered video where they can't put makeup on. If they have makeup on or look nice, we'll reschedule.
Look
it
like
has
crap.
To be exactly how look they like look crap. When they're working.
Right.
It has to be unfiltered because that's my little tagline is Lady Business Radio. It's revamped, unfiltered.
Nice. Love it.
So no makeup, no fancy clothes. And that includes you, Amber McHugh, who I know doesn't listen. The girlfriend put fake eyelashes on like minutes after she gave birth so that she could have pretty pictures taken in the.
Oh, my fucking, God.
I know. She's insane. Anyway, so yeah, so I would do that. And then the letter will say, you know, your part is twofold. A, you're going to show up and be as honest as possible and play to win. And B, you're going to share it with an email to your list. Doesn't have to be separate, but I want it to be in an email. I mean, it doesn't have to be separate because here's the thing, Elsie. If you did go on Elizabeth's podcast and she asked you to do a solo email, what I would probably do is say, well, listen, we do an email every week to our list anyway. What I would do if it's not related, Elsie, is I would just say, okay, like what I would do is the blurb for that week's show for She Podcast. And then underneath, you know, hope you enjoy the show. P.S. Elsie was on Elizabeth's podcast this week. Check it out here. It's still kind of a solo email, but not.
Right. I would actually add a little more to it.
But
I agree.
Of
I mean,
course.
That's kind of
no,
like
but,
what I would want to do.
That's the gist.
Yeah.
I would put it in the newsletter.
Right.
I would ask if you could put it. So that's why I would say, okay, you don't have to do it solo. But if you could put it in your, you know, weekly email and let me know when it's going to go out so I can check the numbers.
Right.
That's your part of the deal.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and that's actually, that's not a bad idea. So the pitch letter would have to make it seem like it is an even exchange.
Yeah. And I also like it, the fact that you are creating an experience for them. Because the way that you even just stated that is like straight up, this is going to be fun. It's going to be an experience. This is what you can expect from being on the show. It already sets it up as different. Yeah.
We're going to answer questions no one's asked you.
Right.
Some are going to be more personal than others. Some of them will be business related and some won't. And then we're going to talk about the stuff you've been up to. You'll be able to talk all day long about whatever you're promoting and why you're into it lately, if you want. You know, so like if she's doing some course about your vagina, which Elizabeth seems to do or talk about, I don't know.
Vaginas are fun, a lot better than
she
balls.
Can talk about her vagina all day if she so true. She can talk about it all day if she wanted. We'll discuss it and I'll put a link in it so people can sign up and get on the list if they want. Right. But in return, I want something in return, because otherwise I'll do it for someone who's willing.
Right. Yeah.
Because if my show can get 1,000 listeners a month for nothing, for no new episodes for a year, it's like Seinfeld at this point. Like it's just in syndication.
It's in syndication. Yeah, it's on limbo. It's in like media limbo. But okay.
In fact, let me see what my numbers were for the whole year, because now I'm curious.
I think this is a little bit of my strategy for you too,
What do you think about I want to hear what you're going to say, okay. But I wanted to ask you like about the $100 too. So I don't know if that's in there.
Not sure about the $100 I think that you would have to state it and have it be very clear for, I don't know. Maybe there would be a really great giving campaign for that. I would be really up to like, you know, you give me $100, I give it to this charity, or I give you $100, it goes into a pool for the community for a gift for lady business, radio peeps or whatever.
I'm kind of down with the charity thing.
You know, like something that would have that money serve lady business in some way. Not lady business, you know what I'm talking about. Like women in business in some way, shape or form. Whether it's like a random gift, a giveaway in the year or something like that you give out, where you pick and choose tools or services that you can, I don't know, something like that. I think that would be really great because it's also giving back. And not to say that I don't want you to have the money, but I just think that this would be a really great way to sort of like weed out people and also bring you above everybody else. Nobody's doing anything like that. Now,
so give it to a charity.
Yeah, well, you could give it to a charity, or you could do giveaways for your people. So that $100 could get you to buy something for, and you could do lady giving business.
I love that idea. I love that idea. I love this idea.
See?
I'll take your chick for $100, but I mean, I'd have to still vet them.
Yes, of course.
I will, up for $100, and then we'll do a $100 giveaway on the show you're on, or I'll donate $100 to a charity that's related to what they're doing.
Yeah, something like that. I think that would be lovely. Or even like a piece of hardware, you know, like a microphone for $100, or, you know, like a Dropbox.
Or I'll save it up and give away an Apple Watch 1 month or something.
Yeah, or like Dropbox for a year, like a pro business account for Dropbox. How cool would that be?
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
You're a genius.
I know I'm a genius.
Why don't people? Oh my God. Why don't they know the vastness of your genius? Jesus Christ, Elsie, my head. I have to put the pieces of my brain back in my head because you just blew my head. You blew my mind just right out. You just exploded my brain.
All right. See, wouldn't
anyone else listening to this just feel like your face just blew right off? Like my nose is like way in the closet. My lips are on the floor. My eyes are behind the bed. I got to pick them back up, put them right back in my head. Wait, hold on.
Oh, my God. So, but see, that I feel really works. It works for the services and stuff.
Oh, my God.
And here, and it'll just make your people want to listen some more. People love free stuff all the time. But anyway, okay. But now getting back to even the production part of it as well, I really don't think that I feel that having a weekly show, if you batch produce it, fine. It works. I honestly don't think that, as you're knowing right now, with the shows that you already have in the can, and if you're just looking at download numbers, having like a weekly show is fine, but it's not going to make it or break it. You can really do something that's bi-monthly, or you could even do a monthly show and really push the tar out of that show And just,
hey, do you want to hear something funny? I was wrong. It wasn't $1,000 a month. It was way more.
Okay. Well,
some months last year got like $3,000.
Well, look at that.
$4,000. And I mean, again, no episodes.
Right. And so what I'm saying is, if you really focus on getting like those episodes and really focus on marketing those out, just promoting them naturally and just really focusing in on that so people can really listen to them and all that kind of stuff, I think you could generate a lot of engagement with it. In fact, twice a month would be just perfect. You don't even have to do a monthly thing or even a weekly thing, because then you're going to start to feel like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, right? Make it easy for yourself and it'll be awesome. Anyway, that's another idea. That
yeah, it doesn't have to be weekly. I'll just put them out whenever I can do them. Another thing is, I could just take a month and just do so many interviews.
You could.
But then, see, here's the problem. The reason why I went to two shows in the first place is because I had so many people that I wanted to interview, and I hated telling people who were interviewing with me in January that it wasn't going to be on until May.
Yeah, that sucks.
It sucks. I know. It's because there's only 4 weeks in a month. So if you're interviewing six people that month and you've got a weekly show, you're just like, sorry, you're not on till March. Right. When's the thing that you're promoting? Oh, it's next week? Fuck me.
Right.
I can't help you now. That's why I started doing two a week, because I could not fit in the people that I needed to fit in. And especially if I'm going to allow them to have an element of promotion, I may just have to have a sporadic schedule. Is that ever a good idea, Elsie?
I think sporadic is not so much a good idea, but you can commit to having once a month. Like if you can just say it, it'll be the first, you know, the first day of the month, it would be great. And here's the other thing too. It's like, if you start to think of the amount of consumption that's going to be out there, there's a lot more podcasts that are coming into the scene right now, like a lot more. Mm-hmm. And so people are consuming content there are people who are like addicted to certain podcasts or that have certain podcasts as part of their everyday flow. Mm-hmm. But that's very few or far between. I would say tops, there are about 3 podcasts at the most that somebody will listen religiously to, like, you know, every week. For the most part, the other podcasts are like one-offs, right? It's like if you're people, you know, if you are interviewing somebody else that's like really cool on your show and they tell their people and they'll come and listen, more likely than not, they'll listen to that episode. They'll love you, but they may not come back to another episode of yours until 6 months later, which is fine. And I think that's a normal consumption. You have to keep that in mind. If you're doing 2 episodes a week, like one of the reasons I stopped listening to Lady Business Radio was that, Jess, because it was too much. Because I'm like in my head, I was thinking like, I'm never going to catch up. And that's something that's really weird about consuming podcasts. There's a lot of us who are really anal about following like this episode, then next episode. And when there's so many that start to compile, there's a point where it's like, oh my God, I haven't listened to 10 episodes. I have to stop. And it makes you get stressed out. This is like what's happened to me. So now what I've decided to do is I now just listen. I given myself a break because I was so like into, I have to listen to all the episodes. And now I'm finally like, okay, well, I'll just take the last one that comes up. And I haven't been able to listen to one podcast this year consistently for every episode like I used to, because there's too many. So I would rather have somebody listen to the shows than not so that they could hear them. So anyway, I don't know. Maybe the people listening can, if you guys think about, have you ever thought about the way you consume content? And also, is your audience, because of the content you're putting out, are they actually consuming this stuff? Or are you a one-off? I mean, I'm okay with being a one-off. I'm fine with that.
I don't know. No. I mean, I don't know. The people who tell me they listen regularly.
Right.
Who knows if they're, who knows?
But Lady Business has been out for a while. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you never know if like there's a lot of people who are coming in there and like grabbing a chunk of like 10. Because what happens with me is that I OD on stuff a lot, like that I'm listening to. I'll binge listen to something and then I'm done. I'm like, okay, that was that.
Yeah.
Because I kind of come to a point where I'm done with whoever that I'm listening to or even watching. So I've been kind of observing the way that I've been doing this. And I think I'm probably not the only person that does that. And even with, you know, Serial, the second season being released as of late, I was excited by that. I immediately downloaded the podcast and
Is the whole thing out or is it one?
No, it's one at a time. So, you know, okay. Every week is going to be coming out. But so I downloaded the initial podcast and I started listening. And then I thought, you know what? I'm not going to listen because I'm not in the zone. I'm not in the cereal zone right now. I don't want to listen to this. I'm thinking about other stuff.
Why
that
would
I
you ever be in the cereal zone? It was so boring.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I think that there's something about stories and that is different than, and the serial format that is different than something like you and I, my podcast, like She Podcast itself can be part of a life. It can be part of somebody's workflow in their life where, mm-hmm. you know, they can do stuff and have us in their ears. And it's not like we're not telling us like a consistent story where we'll leave people off to the next episode. So we can be part of somebody like that because it's kind of lighthearted. You learn things, mm-hmm. you know, and we're funny and or interesting in some way.
I mean, we hope.
We hope. I know. And then, but there's other types of podcasts that I feel rely on different modalities and different, you know, different people and different times. And there's a feeling like you kind of, you're in the zone to listen to them in some way. You have to be in that state of mind. So it's something to think about.
Yeah.
Please don't be sad about it. I'm just saying. Think about it.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I definitely can't do two a week. No way.
No.
But I feel like once a month is not enough.
Twice.
Like they'll forget about me.
Why don't you try bimonthly? The feed has worked very, very well doing two episodes a month.
I thought you guys were every week.
No, we do twice a month. And it's really great because it gives us 2 weeks to gather all the feedback and all the show notes that we have to gather together. It gives us a really like packed show because if we did it every week, we wouldn't even have as much stuff. So we have tons of feedback. We have tons of things to talk about. And it also gives me a week, an entire week just to promote the show.
It makes me panic, the idea of it, because there's so many people I want to talk to, and I just feel like I'm never going to get to talk to them all.
I don't think so. I think that maybe if you start making a list, you can get that done. 24 people. 24 amazing people.
Amazing people. But I know.
Amazing people.
A lot more than that.
Well, you can add the extra ones. I think you should commit to 24 amazing people.
Okay. I'll make a list.
Yeah. And then if you have extra bonus features in there, that's fine because that's bonus. You'll just have a bonus episode here and there. But if you can do 24, instead of thinking like, oh my God, there's so many, just get those 24.
All right.
That's what I think anyway.
That's a good idea. But but then if there's 24, there's no way I'm going to have room for the people who are pitching me.
Maybe.
You no don't, way.
But you never know though. I mean, think about it. Or you can even ask your guests and be like, would you be willing, even your friends, would you be willing to give something away or would you donate to a charity for being on the show? And this make it lighthearted, make it like very Jessica-like.
Okay.
And then have that as an option as well, just to bring the community together because like that would be like a bonus thing as well that they want to. This is no pressure to them whatsoever.
Yeah.
But this is something because, you know, even sometimes when, you know, Ellen has people, guests that come on her show, sometimes they mm-hmm. give her presents.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Or they give the audience a present that's like a surprise.
Yes.
Which is great. I don't think she asked them to do that.
Correct.
So if they want to, that's fine.
Now, I know this is not strategic, but I'm just curious. Let's just say I know that Denise Duffield Thomas is going to donate a giveaway.
Right.
Do I talk about the giveaway on the show or do I talk about the giveaway leading up to the show?
Both.
So people should do the thing I want them to do before the episode even airs?
Oh, meaning that what are you going to ask the people?
In other words, do I announce live who it is when the show comes out or do I announce what the giveaway is when the show comes out and then I have to announce who won on the next one?
Yeah.
Which is it? So like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no,
should
I
have them listen to win or should I have them listen to find out what they do to win?
I think that they need to listen to find out what they do to win.
Okay.
And then because what happens is, you know, one of the people, and it's really crazy, I have emailed one of the people who won free hosting because there's three for the feed for Thanks Podcasting. There were three people who won. And two people have gotten back to me. And one of them's MIA.
What?
Has not gotten back to me.
How dare you?
How dare you? right? I've emailed him twice.
Oh my God. Well, you shouldn't have to chase him.
I know what I'm saying, but I feel kind of bad. And so then I'm like, you know what? You have a deadline. It's this Friday by 10 a.m. Eastern Standard. If I do not hear from you, we're giving that away again. So that's going to be a bonus giveaway that is going to be happening on Friday to people who participated for the Thanks Podcasting Project that didn't even know that they were getting that bonus. Mm-hmm. Because somebody didn't get back to me and I did everything I could. I emailed the guy twice.
How dare you?
So, yeah, so you're going to have to deal with that aspect of it as well in terms of the giveaway stuff and like, but it'll be really fun to be able to set it out and they have like a set amount of time for them to do the thing, whatever that thing is. Mm-hmm. And then you have to reach out to them on the next episode you can open up. That would be the segment. The winner is blah, blah.
And the winner is
yep.
blah, blah.
Blah, blah. So there's that.
That's funny.
All right. So
all right. Okay.
So we have been now chatting for quite a bazillion time, and it's going to be time for us to wrap it up.
Did we have anything else on our plate that we were supposed to?
We have so many things on the plate. It was crazy. But let me go.
Dang.
You know what?
Let's
do something really, really quick. This is the year in podcasting, according to me, that we were going to discuss, but we're not going to go deep into it now because we're really running out of time. So here are the big things that
Can't
I feel.
Can it be like a double bonus episode, or do you like have to go?
No, we should probably.
We have to go.
Yeah,
all right.
We should probably. We don't want. Yeah, it'll be a too long. It's a long thing. Anyway, so the Serial effect that started this year, even though Serial began on October 3rd, 2014. So not 2015, but still. So because this is what happened. They had a skit on SNL that they did a little spoof on them. Sarah Koenig was on Late Night, actually, with Colbert, the Colbert Report. There was a subreddit only focused on Serial. Oh, my God. The conversations about it via social media were totally insane, meaning there were people who I never in a million years were talking about podcasting were now talking about podcasting and Facebook like they do about whatever TV show they're watching or book or reading or something like that.
Yeah.
Which was pretty big. That was pretty big.
That's true.
That's huge. The president, you know, was on WTF with Marc Maron, which is, again, pretty massive, I have to say. They reached out to Marc Maron. They are the ones that wanted to be on the show. That's what the president of the United States decided to be on a podcast. That's pretty insane. iOS 8, which was released on June 2014, again, not this last year, but that made the podcast app a stock app, which cannot be deleted inside of iOS. And so since it was in June, it had 6 months to sort of catch on. And so this was the first full year where the podcast app was part of the ecosystem of all iPhones out there. And mm-hmm. there's been so many of them out there. Now, my right. question is, I'm seeing the stats with Libsyn and everything, I have seen a huge rise. I mean, mobile now, it's about 70% podcast consumption, which is insane. 70% are consuming podcasts via their mobile devices, which I think is really highly due to the uptake of this podcast app as a stock app, as well as a lot more people having smartphones. So that's kind of crazy. Now, my question is, how did this change the behavior of people consuming podcasts? And has it? So for those of you listening, how many of you guys use the podcast app, the actual stock app that's inside of your iPhone?
Or if I do.
I don't. But then that's me because I've been listening for such a long time. But see, how many people use that? I mean, I'm curious about that. Do other people that don't listen to podcasts know even what that little blue thing is or purple? I don't even know. It's like a purple, blue.
Yeah, it's purple. Yeah.
Whatever thing. So there's that. And there was so much more media coverage this year than ever, ever, ever. In fact, here's a quote from my other co-host, Rob Walsh, VP of Podcaster Relations at Libsyn, who said, quote, "There isn't a podcast resurgence. Rather, there's been a podcast media coverage resurgence." Unquote.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he hit the nail right on the head with that, where all of a sudden larger media entities were having all of these crazy coverage of podcasting. So there's that. I just think that we don't have enough time to really dive deep into all this stuff. We can discuss this on our January episode.
All right.
Are you sad? Why are you sad?
Kind of.
Why are you so sad?
I don't know, because I always feel like every time we stop talking that there's a lot more we were supposed to say.
But that's okay. It's all right, because I just feel like, you know, there comes a point when it's like 60 plus minutes and it's just like, well, it's time to bring it down.
I can feel you getting tense when the hour mark hits.
Maybe I'm planning on like doing like bigger productions where it's not like, you got to do it now. You have to have your sponsor spot right here. You got to do it. I guess I'm planning for that.
I guess you are.
That's what I'm doing.
I just, you know, it's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. But I liked our conversation. It was awesome. So
it was.
Don't be sad.
Okay.
Okay? It's all right. All we have these amazing articles out here that you guys, I'm just going to mention them. They're going to be in the show notes, but then maybe you guys can have some commentary for January. Liz Covart, this one's for you. So if you have any commentary, please send them to us. One of them is
yes.
called Podcasting.
Sorry, I got some history and shit wrong.
I know.
Sorry, I'm not historically accurate ever. I'm sure that bothers the heck out of you, Liz. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm wrong.
All right. So here are these two really awesome articles if you guys want to check them out. And maybe make your own opinions about this. Start to think about this. And does it really apply? Or are you just reading this and just saying like, well, they said that this is what's going to happen. So one of them is at Vox.
And
Vox.
You're using com. That voice when you do it.
I know. That's not good. Podcasting is getting huge. Here's why. That's an article for Vox. And the other one is at NeimanLab.org. And it's called The Podcasting Scene Will Explode. So there's those. Yes. Oh, and there's another article from Nielsen as well that I'm going to fit in there where...
You're just going to shove it all in without us talking about it?
No, we're not. Download this where podcasting fits into
this
the audio.
This hurts me.
Does it really? Which one do you want to talk about so that we can finish up with something like...
I don't know. I'm just...
There's a lot. It's a lot of stuff, though. I kind of wanted to go deep into these things, so...
That's why I thought we would talk about it next time. Why give them all the links now? So they can
read it. So that they can read it. Yeah, so that they can read it and see what we have to say about it. Because, you know, with this kind of stuff, we have to teach our audience to be able to make discerning, critical choices when they read some of these stuff that is saying, like, my podcasting is going to be famous. And to be able to say, like, you know, that's not right. That's not my experience, or I'm not consuming that way, or my car hasn't been updated, or I don't listen to podcasts in the car. What are they talking about? So that's what I say. Anyway, so read those up and then come back. Come back prepared.
Yeah.
You people. All right. So, oh my gosh. This is almost our second to last episode.
Of the year?
Of the year, yeah. So all of you guys that are celebrating Christmas out there, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. Yes. And then look out for our collaborate episode. Please do participate. It's going to be in the show notes. In fact, if you want to go straight to it, I'm going to create a pretty link for it. And it is going to be shepodcast.com/together2015. No spaces. Shepodcast.com together 2015 so that you guys can go in there. There's like a blog post that details everything that you need to do in case you don't know what's going on. And I would love it if you did it. Yay, please.
Yeah. Wait, okay. Did we not? We talked about this earlier too, though, right?
Yes, we did. I'm just telling them again right now.
That's when I was, I think, having more of a fever.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I dreamt it for a minute there.
You were having more of a fever. Great. Fabulous.
I mean, that's what you know, that's what happens.
I know.
You space in and out.
All right.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes.
You know all the links, but in case you don't, just Google She Podcast and figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
I'm sick.
That was the best. John, you have to pick that out and clamor that. That's a clamor.
Yeah.
That's a clamor. Just like
figure it out yourself. Google She Podcast. Make it all one word so you can find us. That helps.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you.